ESPN special only on Undercover Tapes. Hey everybody, welcome to another UCPN special. I'm your host, Al Mega. And today we're going to do something a little different. We're actually going to put you on to this fantastic campaign out there that 2020 is going to kick off even crazier, right? This is something that we should all be supporting. I'm talking about Every Library. And today I am joined by two individuals that are part of this amazing campaign. First, the executive director, Mr. John Kraska.
Al, how you doing, man? Thanks for the opportunity to hang out with your crew.
No, thank you for joining us. And then we also have the developmental director, Mike Parchinski.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's my first podcast. I'm really excited.
Oh, we're popping the cherry here for you, the proverbial cherry of podcasts. All right. Awesome. Yep. So let's get into it, guys. And feel free to field the questions. All right. But let's get our audience to understand, what is Every Library? What are the origins of Every Library?
Sure, Al. This is John. The idea behind Every Library is to focus on the funding for libraries and the infrastructure of libraries. I mean, a lot of folks love to read, but some folks don't. A lot of folks love to go to library programs. Mm-hmm. Some folks haven't been in the library since they were 14 years old themselves. And I got to tell you, it kind of doesn't matter about the users when it comes to the funding, because there's a lot of folks out there who believe, like we do, that libraries are really important. Now, using them, frequenting them, you know, going in and getting the stuff that you want, making connections, great, love it, fantastic. And at the same time, is it going to be there tomorrow? There's sometimes a big difference between how people say they love the library and their willingness to support it as taxpayers. What we've got with Every Library is a different kind of organization. We're a political action committee. I mean, technically, we're a super PAC for libraries. Okay. And you know, you listen to NPR, you watch Fox News, you hear about super PACs mm-hmm. and how they can raise and expend unlimited funds to advance their nefarious special interests. Well, our nefarious special interest is the public library and the school library. And we do not have unlimited funds, though. What we try and do with what we've got as a donor-supported organization, is to put an attention on the future funding for public libraries and school libraries. It might be an election day, and a lot around the country, there's a lot of different states and a lot of different communities that have to go out for the vote to either approve or affirm the funding for libraries, or it's with the state politicians and federal politicians who sometimes don't pay attention to the way that public libraries should be funded in order to advance, you know, different parts of society. Make sure that everybody's got fair and equal access to the resources that everybody should have, whether it's for entertainment or for enjoyment or for education. So,
and what prompted you guys to begin this, though? What was the defining factor when you said, okay, we need to assist here?
Well, we took a look at the data about voter support, and we took a look at the activity that was happening within the rest of the library advocacy ecosystem and saw a pretty big disconnect. There's a certain group of people who are never going to vote for taxes, let alone vote for libraries, and that's getting bigger and bigger in this country. Back in 2008, 2009, with the rise of the Tea Party, you know, activities even like Occupy Wall Street, there was the recession. The things got kind of perilous for libraries there for a little while, and what we wanted to do was address that directly. So we put together a political action committee, a super PAC, in order to make sure that we, you know, took care of, well, 94% of public library funding comes either from the local will of the voters or the will of the local politicians. And we wanted to make sure that we addressed that at that time of crisis, you know, during the recession, and now at a different kind of time of crisis when there's a real kind of anti-government sentiment out there. And, there's some real erosion with how we relate to each other as well. Mm-hmm. Public libraries are part of that mix, and we want to make sure they're properly supported.
Oh, that's amazing. I myself, you know, I've been after the age of 14 to a library, actually like a month before coming here. And what I did notice was the users of the library. I didn't see out of maybe, I'd say there was maybe 15 people there. Let's just say that about 98% were people age 50 and above, and the rest were probably younger than that. But that's very small. I mean, what do you think that is?
Well, it depends on the time of day. It depends on the day of the week. I mean, one little visit, no offense, isn't the full sample size. We know that millennials use libraries more than any other population in the country. When you say, okay, boomer, there's a bunch of them there. And there's a lot of folks bringing their kids. It's being used for entertainment and enjoyment, you know, first and foremost. Yes. And it's being used by all ages and stages. The nice thing, the thing I like about it best myself is that you don't have to have any money to participate. You know, you don't have to have any status. It's the one place in town that you can go to that's for free. You don't have to buy anything. You can hang out all day if you wanted to. And it's got the stuff either there in the building or because of things like interlibrary loan. Yeah, the librarians tend to bring in some really interesting stuff. It depends on. It depends on when you go as to who you see.
Gotcha. Because I do have a fellow comic crusader, you know, shout out to Dan, and he frequents the library weekly, and he shares all his pickups. And I mean, he's trying to encourage comic book readers that are fans, but you know, price points nowadays make it impossible. Like you were saying, you know, this is, you know, a no cost thing to a lot of us. And he picks out the greatest graphic novels you've ever seen, not just for himself, but kids. You know, so he's very active with his children on this. So, you know, I get you. You know, definitely a library is a very important thing that we all should be partaking in supporting. Now,
well, I got a good buddy, JP, who's a big comic collector. This guy, he collects, you know, he's got everything in Mylar. He won't let me touch it, you know. And at the same time, he dips into the public library to see about whether he's going to pick up the next series or not. He does his sampling sometimes at shops, but also also at the library. Yeah. My own family, we go for manga, we go for anime. My kids are reading those books backwards. Al, I got to tell you, I've never seen that before. you know, the manga, but it apparently it's right to left, it's the left to right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but what we also use it for is games and gaming and those kinds of connections too. It's a good spot to go and meet other people and do some stuff. It's kind of fun, you know.
Do something socially, folks. Get away. Get off the phones. Get away. Get out your house. You know, it's like you said, it is a hangout. Absolutely. I do have a question now. Every library began in about 2012, right?
Right.
So, how did you approach would-be supporters of this? How were you pushing, you know, the Every Library campaign back then? Because I know since then it's obviously transformed, and you guys have a fantastic mission for next year.
Yeah, and the mission at its core, our mission statement is to build voter support for libraries. That might be at the local level, you know, it's sometimes as small as one zip code, you know, where the library serves that one zip code. That's it. Sometimes it's national, it's federal, even where, you know, the President Trump has tried to cut federal funding for libraries every single year of his administration.
Well, the less now, we read, the better it is for them. They don't want to say
even as it may, we're coming out against that. You know, our mission is to build voter support for libraries, but our vision, the reason that we call it Every Library, is that any library anywhere should matter, and every library does matter. The importance of what we're up to here is to make sure that the institution and the people who work there are properly supported, because they provide a unique kind of support for everybody else in the community.
All right. Check that out. Now, we're coming up on 2020 rather quickly, and you guys are really pushing a big campaign for 2020. I mean, what could you tell us about your plans for 2020? Are you guys going to be anywhere where folks can even talk to you in person and whatnot?
Sure. So what we're doing in the beginning of the 2020 campaign is to sort of set up, well, you know, like there's Warren 2020, there's Buttigieg 2020, there's Trump 2020. Why don't we have libraries 2020? Yes. You know, like what's it mean to build the library party? Now, it's not as big as the Republican or Democrat party or even the Greens, but what does it mean to get people together who believe, like we do, that libraries matter? And they want to put their time and their attention and some of their political will behind it. We're building the 2020 campaign in order to reach every corner of America. And it takes a lot of resources to do that. Mike, do you want to tell Al a little bit about some of the work that we're doing in terms of the canvassing and the swag and the merch?
Oh, nice. I was about to ask about that stuff. Awesome.
Absolutely. A big part of Libraries 2020 is reaching the people that don't know about us already, obviously. So a great way to do that is to reach them where they are. And we started doing that in 2019 by having a group of canvassers, around 10, at the ALA convention back in June in D.C. And basically what we were asking is just for people to sign the pledge to reach out to their elected officials to tell them that they value library funding. So as their constituent, they would like them to focus on library funding. And we found this was a great way to make people understand that libraries do need their help and that libraries aren't an autonomous thing that automatically gets funding just because the local voters want it or just because that's the public sentiment of, oh, yeah, libraries are great. And we're looking in 2020 to have many more canvassing actions across the country. We actually have a rally in Philadelphia coming in January during the ALA winter break or ALA winter event, just to get out there and show people that there are many people that want library funding and library support to be a focus of 2020. Because if we don't do it now, then when are we ever going to do it? 2020 really for all aspects of the political life, educational life in America is a huge year just because so much is at stake in the 2020 election. We need people to go to the ballot box with libraries on their mind thinking, is the candidate I want to vote for going to support libraries? And if not, how can we get them to support libraries? And part of that is getting, as John was saying, getting libraries on their mind, which we're hoping to do with some of our great merch that we just launched from Redbubble. You can check it out at libraries2020.org/shop. It's got a lot of great riffs on, the current things that, the kids think are cool. since as John mentioned, millennials are the biggest users of libraries, but historically, they're more apathetic towards politics. If we can get them just to wear some cool Libraries 2020 stuff or just anything that says libraries, then they'll wear it out and then people see, oh, libraries. I didn't think about that. That's a really cool shirt. Maybe I can think a little bit more about libraries. And it's just about getting libraries on their mind, really.
There we go. See, I love you guys' passion for this. I mean, it's amazing that, this is a very valid campaign of support. Now, I see people say great things about you. I see Adrian Furness, the director of the Henrietta Public Library, basically mm-hmm. provided them with training to help them develop messages about their new building proposal and understand how to prioritize efforts. There's also a Jeannie Dilger said that you guys provided the staff and trustees a lot of support and guidance, and more so because it was pro bono. Where did you get your experience from in order to help libraries such as these, get on this path and let people know what they're there for?
Well, the principles here are based in the best kind of community organizing, and it's based in the best kind of political conversations. The experience comes from, personally and my colleague Patrick, who's not on the interview today, who's our political director. Comes from our work on the ground with local libraries over many, many years. I started working with public libraries in 2002, and the chance to be able to bring those best practices, every time's different. We worked in New Orleans, we worked in Dallas, we worked with Miami-Dade County, and the questions that people have there are, we worked in Darby, Montana, which is a very small town, or Potomac, Illinois, where 646 people live.
646? Wow. Everybody knows everybody.
They do. And, the situation, the questions in all those places are the same, Al. It's a funny thing, man. Like, where's my money going to go and who's going to spend my money? Those are the two key questions on election day. 364 days of the year, people are like, do you have the new book? Do you have the new comic? Do you have the new manga? Do you have the new game? Mm-hmm. Do you have the new whatever? On election day or on budget day, it's where's my money going to go and who's going to spend my money. So we spend a lot of time putting those best practices to work around the idea that the library is a cause, and, you know, rallying people with Libraries 2020 is part of that, but also the idea that the librarian is the candidate, because folks want to know who's going to spend their money. And it's very different between, well, some nameless, faceless bureaucrat or some politician someplace and the local librarian. Yeah. And librarians, you know, that whole thing about being shy and demure is not necessarily true. You give them the tools, and they'll get out there and they'll tell you the truth about their value system and their mission and their vision for the community. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. I get that passion. You know, that's how we are with comic books and comic crusaders. We get it. Yeah. We may be geeks, but we're some cool geeks, all right? Don't worry about it.
You know, one of my favorite bit of canvassing that we did so far is at New York Comic Con. We had the folks out in front with the clipboard asking people if they wanted to support. And there's nothing like seeing somebody in full regalia, you know, coming up to hey, I got a library card. I got to fish it out of my dragon head, you know, like it's amazing.
That is fantastic. I missed you guys at New York Comic Con. I had the pleasure of being there this year. Great show. Definitely a lot of foot traffic. So I hope you guys were able to spread the gospel of every library over there really well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, let's get into, you know, making donations and whatnot, because I want our listeners here to support this. Now, is the donating process easy? I mean, what do they need to do if they want to, you know, find out more about the campaign and maybe pitch in?
Al, here's the thing. We will not get in the way of anybody donating. We're a donor-supported organization. Everything that we've done has been pro bono and for free for the last 7 years. We've never charged a library for any of our services. Actually, I take that back. The only thing that we ever ask from our libraries, and only some of them can afford it, is travel reimbursement. Yeah. We always say that our brains are free, but our bodies cost money to move around the country. That said, libraries2020.org is our campaign site. And then you can make a donation, credit card, debit card, the information about where to mail it to. If you want to do a check, we can take it through. So we process all of our stuff through Square. We can do PayPal. You can do ActBlue. Every $10 that we raise, it's another 1,000 Americans that we can engage about the value system that we're trying to espouse, which is that public libraries matter, that school libraries make a difference in the lives of the students. So we'd like to be able to put that kind of funding to work, especially in the 2020 campaign. We'd like to see the opportunity to reach across all different kinds of demographics, all different kinds of political persuasions. What we know really to be true in this country is that libraries are a great unifier.
Yes.
And so for every $10 that we can put to work, we can reach across to that partisan divide and talk to people about what really matters, which is, you know, taking care of each other and once in a while finding a really cool book.
Absolutely agreed. Something to talk about socially, you know, safely and nicely.
Because right.
These conversations with geeks sometimes could go awry.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, we'll take all kinds, but you have to be kind, you Please. Know? And you got to be a decent human. Otherwise, we'll work on it and then come back to the library.
Now, I have a question about the logo for the I Love My Library. I love the look of it. I see you guys got T-shirts and tote bags and cups and notebooks and whatnot. Do you know who designed that logo? Because that looks like an awesome tattoo also.
Oh, that would be an awesome tattoo. Muriel Wheatley and her design partner did it. The I Love My Library pin. Mike, what else do we have besides the pin right now?
We have a T-shirt with a badge right across the left breast, as well as a travel mug with a checker pattern of the I Love My Library badge, along with a coffee mug, a hardcover notebook that you can get in college ruled or graph paper, and as well as the pins that you can get with a monthly donation of, I believe it's $3 or more.
You mentioned the pop socket?
Oh, of course. Yes, the pop socket. We have a great pop socket through Pop Socket Poptivism, they call it. For every purchase of it, half of it goes to us. Thus far, we've raised a little under $2,000.
Nice.
And with that, also one thing about that, our donations that John didn't mention a little bit is for every dollar we get, we're able to infuse $1,600 of stable library funding for a library through our work. So just by purchasing one pop socket, I believe we get around $10 from it. So you can help us get $16,000 worth of stable library funding for a library we work with just by purchasing a pop socket.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys think of all these little things here to help, you know, spread this message?
You know, one of the fun parts about being the executive director is, you know, being able to bring my A game and asking other people to bring their A game too. You know, I got some talent. My colleagues, Mike and Patrick and our volunteers and our other board members like Erica and Harmony and Brian and Peter have talent too. You know, we're fortunate because this is a very collaborative space to be in. It's a very entrepreneurial approach to working on one of America's key institutions. So, you know, once in a while, I'll when you see it, man, it's like, that's a great idea. Go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And all right. So I have I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say furthermore in that it's just, working with every library, since it's Patrick, John and I as the three, main, leads of it. We're all great friends. So we're not afraid to have bad ideas with each other. If I say something and John thinks it's a bad idea or Patrick finds some flaws in it, we're not afraid to tell each other that, hey, fix that or make it look a little better or something. And it's just the great dynamic that the three of us have of we're willing to fail in front of each other and not get discouraged by it because we know the other two guys just want the best for every library for ourselves and all the libraries in general.
Yeah, that's how we work at Comic Crusaders. It's a family. And even though, Comic Crusaders may be my puppy, but I have a great team. So it's our website. And even before I do anything, I ask them first, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And, you know, it's like you said, it's great to have people that are not afraid to be honest with you.
That's right.
You know, and in a nice way, of course. That's a horrible idea. And I'm like, hey, we could do this maybe better this way. And it's the way it should be. You know, people, again, communicating, something that libraries could teach a lot of folks, you know, being social. all right. So my last question, I have just two more questions here. We're talking about how, you know, great and everything has been, but have you guys ever faced any challenges in this or what may be the biggest challenge you face at times when you're pushing the Every Library campaign idea out there? Has there ever been anyone that gave you pushback, for example?
Yeah, there's two aspects to this. One is that you don't want to stall out, Al. You know, like when you're growing and we've got so many people to reach, there's 330 million Americans out there. We'd like to get to the point of being, you know, between 1% and 3% or even 5% of the population. We're at about 325,000 people right now on our social media network, which is great. About 105,000 on our action network. People have taken some sort of affirmative action for libraries, you know, either through Libraries 2020 or our action.everylibrary.org platform or through Save School Librarians. And we got to keep growing. You know, the challenge here is talking to folks, not only about the ideals, but about the way that's powered, which is the donations. So making appeals regularly to individuals as well as to corporate, as well as to other issue advocacy organizations. That's one of the challenges. The other is you run into some headwinds sometimes when you know that people, have a philosophy of government that they've been, any tax is a bad tax is going to kill us as a society, in my opinion. I run a political action committee for libraries. I believe in a progressive tax policy that does fund the common good. And we keep running into it in D.C., in state capitals, and even at the local level in counties and cities, where people who would normally be very compassionately engaged with their neighbors say, nope, we're not going to spend another nickel on it until we get this figured out right. And it's a lot of headwind sometimes. It's not about conservative. It's not about political party. It's about that philosophy. Do we have a philosophy that says we should take care of each other or just take care of our own? And we believe here at Every Library that we should be taking care of each other. And that's why we're passionately engaged in the future of public funding for the common good.
See that, folks? Do you hear this? All right, this is fantastic stuff. And I need you guys to visit their website and take some type of action, because I'm in it. I'm digging everything you guys are doing, saying.
That's cool, man.
This is fantastic. Yo, many blessings to you guys. We're coming up on time. So let's just go ahead. I want you to let people know your websites, your socials. How can they get engaged for the next campaign?
So everywhere on social media, it's simply at Every Library. One word, Every Library. Our main campaign site for this year is libraries2020.org. But you can just hit plain old everylibrary.org and follow the pathways there. There's a lot to be done. And whether it's just taking the pledge to support libraries or to support school libraries in 2020, or if it's making a donation in order to help power the work that we're doing at the local level to help libraries win elections and help schools make sure that there's a school librarian in place, or if it's part of that state or federal conversation about policy and funding, we'd love to have folks involved. I mean, The comic book community, the fanboy, fangirl community is uniquely positioned to y'all understand in a way that I think a lot of other folks don't, what it means to come together and be together in a common cause. So thanks, Al.
No, thank you, guys. And I have one final question. This is just a random geek question because it's causing controversy on my Twitter. This is a who would win battle. I want both of you to answer. All right. Who would win this battle? Okay. Voltron versus Godzilla.
Oh. Mike, do you want to go first?
Did you say Ultron?
Voltron, the five lions versus Godzilla.
Huh. Let me think.
I have a very strong opinion about this.
I have to look up who Voltron is.
Mike. Okay, so... It's Voltron, in my considered opinion, for several reasons, not the least of which is the ability to attack from multiple fronts, and the ability to come back together and do that one special thing. Gotcha. Not to say that Godzilla is not badass, but I think Voltron's got a strategic and tactical advantage.
Nice.
I definitely disagree with John. especially if you've seen the latest Godzilla. Godzilla is the coolest monster there ever has been. And he survived 50 years in all those movies. He beat Mothra. He beat all those villains. And he beat the new guy in the new movie. I don't remember what that name was, but it was a three-headed dragon thing, which was awesome. And he breathes fire. And fire melts metal, last time I checked. So I'm Godzilla.
I love this. This is the same argument on Twitter on both sides. Someone just had a truck that had melted metal, and they said, goodbye, Voltron. And everybody, you know, and other people agree with John, where it's about the sword, you know, like getting slashed and you're done. Okay, so we are still at a standstill here.
I have another versus question for you, Al. Do you have a second?
Sure, let's go. Let's do it.
Great. I'd love both of your opinions on this. I have a very strong opinion on this. Who would win in a fight, a grizzly bear or a lion? This is like a gladiator fight. They're not in their natural surroundings. They're just in a sand pit. Grizzly bear or a lion? Ooh.
That's a good one.
Ooh. Ooh.
There's only one answer in my opinion.
My considered opinion after 13 and a half milliseconds is the grizzly bear would win.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking on those terms, because if the lion pounces, the bear could get up and just grab him in mid-fight and snap him in half.
Yeah, he's got more height, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, the grizzly bear's paw is bigger than my head. And that scares me.
Have you seen pictures of the damage those claws do to a human being? My gosh. I would not be able to play dead to avoid them from slashing me. I'd be too much shaking, you know? Hell no.
Right. Okay, so my last versus question then is ignorance or libraries, Al? What do you think?
Would win? Libraries got to win because... Yeah. People got to stop being ignorant and hit up these wonderful libraries, these great resources in our communities where you could get everything you want. You know, like it was mentioned earlier, you got, you know, real books and comic books and manga and games and movies. Folks, this is such a worthy cause to support. And you know that Al Mega is not about politics, but this transcends politics. This is about community. And let's get out there. Please make sure everyone to visit at every library or everylibrary.org. Take a look and see what the guys here were talking about and see that this is such a worthy campaign. So guys, John, Mike, thank you so much. You guys are fun. And I love what you guys are doing. Many blessings, much success, and know that Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes will both be here for you in order to support and rally the troops behind this wonderful and worthy campaign.
Thank you, sir. And I look forward to seeing you at the next con.
Oh, definitely. I'll be looking for you guys. I got to know your schedule. And with that, folks, I'm Al Mega with John Kraska, Mike Pratinsky, Comic Crusaders, Undercover Capes, Every Library. Let's get it done. 2020, we're going to rock. Thanks for listening. Hasta la próxima.
This is an Undercover Capes production. Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com, GeekreviewMagazine.com, and our newest venture, SplinteredPress.com.